This is URN.
Jansia Ardern, she, as you said, has become New Zealand's youngest female leader. After the recent election, New Zealand was set for a coalition after there was an unequal, like there wasn't a set lead in the voting. And Jansia Ardern's party is Labour. And at 37, she is the youngest for that country since 1856. She's now tipped for power after the small New Zealand First Party agreed to join them after 26 days of negotiations. According to BBC News, Ardern has already proven that she can run a good campaign and broker a political deal, but now she faces new challenges, for example, building bridges with the Australian government. The leader of New Zealand First Party, Winston Peters, said that his party was faced with a decision between modified status quo or change, and obviously they decided to go with change and bring in about a new female leader. She's kind of over in New Zealand known as a rising political star. The slogan is Jansia Mania. Maybe there's kind of links to like Justin Trudeau there, maybe. And she's quite similar to Corbyn. She's targeted young people with policies to do with education, housing and environment. So my first question, do you think that women have an equal place in modern politics?
No, to put it plainly. If you just look at our Houses of Parliament, for example, it's dominated by males. I know this is getting better, but it's still dominated by males, white males for that fact, and middle-aged. This is an amazing step. I think this is brilliant, and she's a worthy candidate, and obviously, hopefully, she does really well. But yeah, no, there's still so much that needs to be done. And I'm not saying that women have a really low place in society, as though it has been in the past, but it's not equal yet. And there still needs to be improvements made.
I think it's also pretty hard still for women right now in politics, because I really like that she seems to be charming and young, because we have leaders like Theresa May or Angela Merkel, you know, who don't seem charming, but who have to be that serious, I get the feeling, and maybe even that uncharming in order to be able, like from society's point of view, in order to be able to do the same job as men. Because if you're just like too bubbly or too charming, I get the feeling that society doesn't see you fit to do the job. Because presidents like Obama, they could be sporty, they could be funny, they could go on TV shows, but I don't get the feeling that women can do that up until now. So I think it's really great that she is actually doing it.
It's like when Hillary Clinton, was it? She went on Ellen or something and she like dabbed and it became a meme all over everywhere and everyone was like, oh, it's so embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, like it was embarrassing, but I feel like that did have a lot to do with the fact. Yeah, it does have a lot to do with the fact that she was kind of an old female politician, like, because I think there's still this issue with women being funny or approachable. And I think that's a big part of politics now, especially with the rise of Donald, is that like, it's all about being a personality and doing something a bit different and all of that, and like, but there doesn't seem to be room for it for female politicians.
It is harder, I think, for women to make a mark the same way that men can, doing the same things without being seen as severe or old and just not appropriate for politics.
I actually really agree with that. If you look at Justin Trudeau in Canada, he's young and he's liberal and everyone loves him. And It's weird to contrast that, because we don't actually have women politicians like that. I mean, prior to this election in New Zealand, every woman politician I could name is one that is heralded for either being horrible, like Margaret Thatcher, and like some people would perceive Theresa May.
Or witch-like.
Yeah, exactly. And it does show what the kind of inner workings of a nation's high political spheres are like, because if women are required to be perceived as nasty, as Trump actually called Clinton a number of times, if it's necessary for a woman to be nasty and to be unpleasant and to be ruthless in politics in order to become leader, they can't be elected on their merits alone or on their, you know, their liberalism or their values, but instead having to fuel lassitude and be Machiavellian in how they work politically, then it doesn't show anything positive for politics. But actually, as we said, this election is fairly promising.
So going along the lines of like a political celebrity, what are your opinions on political celebrities like Corbyn and like Trudeau? Like, what do you think about that?
I'm personally not a massive fan of the whole thing, because like, I like Corbyn, I like Trudeau, but I just think turning people into celebrities is dangerous, because they're never going to live up to your expectations. And that, you know, I'm sure Corbyn, I mean, I like Corbyn a lot. I'm sure he would have been a great leader of the country, but he's got this celebrity status now. There's people singing, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn at Glasgow." Like,
yeah.
If he fails at any point now, it's going to be catastrophic.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say the opposite. I'd say it's dangerous, but because it would not be catastrophic if he failed. Think about Trump's base. I mean, the working class in places like Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida that voted for Trump, they are so obsessive towards him, as with 1930s and 40s charismatic leaders in Europe, they're so drawn to them that any of their failures are completely unrecognised. They love them.
That's kind of what I mean, because like, for his image, I'm not sure what would happen, but say that like he messed up big time, and then especially all the youth and stuff still supported him. We as the youth lose credibility in politics,
and
because
it's
the older
dangerous for the country, yeah. Because then we keep someone who potentially could be, if they've shown themselves to be incompetent, anyone, not Corbyn in particular, but any leader that may well be dangerous to how the country is governed.
Even if you look at Blair and the you know, the war in the Middle East or whatever, there was that he managed to build up quite a personality cult around himself. I mean obviously I was quite young, but my parents were telling me, like, at the time when he was speaking about it, it didn't seem as catastrophically awful as it does now, because yeah. This cult of personality that people build up.
But I don't really think that there's a way around it, to be honest. I mean, just think about the American presidential elections, the debates on TV. There's just no way around not doing the debate. And on the big picture, we talked about how the first debate with Kennedy and Nixon, when you heard them on the radio, Nixon had won. But if you watched them on TV, Kennedy won because he was so charming and so young. And I don't really think that there's a way around it. Maybe don't go on Ellen or on a TV show. But then
would that apply to just female candidates or male candidates as well? Because I feel like the idea of celebrity politicians, it affects perhaps female candidates more negatively than it would a male candidate, because they tend to then become almost ridiculed, whereas a male candidate, in my opinion, from what I've seen from the media, tends to explode around them, but in a more positive way. So, for example, Jeremy Corbyn at Glastonbury.
Look at the way Ed Miliband clawed it back as well. He's like a Twitter icon these days.
Yeah. But then you could argue, I guess, that whilst I think, because I don't necessarily think that going on Ellen or anything is a bad thing, because it does help you get that extra press to do with young people.
Also, it makes them come across more personable.
Yeah,
if they do events like that, I guess, which
I
is probably the idea.
That's the way
it.
That time is moving at the moment, and I think it would be silly for politicians to not follow with that trend. The issue is that I was thinking is that it might maybe amongst older voters make them take the people less seriously. We've also had another text in from Marcus, who believes that politics are still a man domain. On the one hand, we might have Angela Merkel or May, but on the other hand, there are still more than 70% of male men in government. And according to him, this has to stop. And I think, you know, that is a very good point. As we were saying earlier, there is a lot of imbalance there in between the two.
I would agree with that entirely, actually. There's a... Well, statistics show one thing with maybe more women leaders. If we look at how elections that have recently involved women have worked, there's been a kind of great disparity and a difference in how they've communicated. If we look at Trump and we look at Clinton, the Democrats' campaign in 2016 was very much built up around dignity. It was built up around let's respect. The campaign slogan was stronger together. It was love Trump's hate, whereas Trump was make America great again, and let's ridicule Democrats for being soft. And it's actually worked, because now they're, as referring back to our earlier conversation, there's a culture of nastiness.
I linked that idea as well, just by saying that I read an article a few days ago which suggested that the reason the Democrats did not win, but the reason Hillary Clinton didn't win the campaign was because she was a woman, and that there's still a lot of sexism in America.
Yeah, definitely.
To be honest, I think that's entirely true, that she actually hasn't won because, I mean, of course there were other factors as well, but I think that she hasn't won because it is still worse to have a woman as a president than an African American, actually.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That is the view in America. Well, not the view, but a big view in America.
This is URN.